Yeah.
But it's funny, man. It's like you're almost like the unofficial co-host of the podcast. Like, I bring you on a lot. And I have people saying they enjoy it. Like, I've met some of my listeners in the States, and they're like, dude, man, like, that dude, John, like, you guys are funny.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, it is true. It is fun.
Yeah, it really surprised me. Like, they gave some serious names, and they always said, like, but that guy you keep bringing on.
That's how it was, too. It's like, but that guy. What is his name? Yeah, the Playboy. Yeah.
The Playboy. Yeah, but the thing is, like, you know, at least for me, and for you, definitely, because you're way ahead of the game than me, you know?
Shit.
I'm trying here.
So, yeah. Thanks.
No, but what I mean is, you know, with the business and marketing and all that stuff, like, we sort of know what we need to do.
Right.
So it gets boring just, you know, to keep going over the tactics and things like, oh, you got to run a webinar, or you need to, like, it gets boring, right? Like, I think we think about different things more, you know, like the bigger picture things, or like for me, and this is why your post resonated, like, I've been looking towards people with more experience now. And just asking them, like, well, what's ahead for me?
Yeah.
You know?
Me too, man.
So it's been this thing that I've been really thinking about. And even with this podcast, you know, the, like, before we spoke about, like, advice to ourselves, you know, if we were 20 or 30. But I think for this one, let's just assume that we would actually listen.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Right? Because I think that's the thing, like, we, you know, we kind of made fun of it before, because we would tell ourselves to fuck off pretty much for in real life.
I don't know. I mean, not, yeah.
Come somewhat. On. If you were 20.
When I was 20. I mean, yeah. We've been 20.
Yeah, but if I think
first,
about...
First, let's think about this. What was given to you that you actually ignored when you were 20?
I think probably, well, so when I think about everything that's going well for me, and I've spoke about this with a lot of other people, it all begins with luck, right? And we were just able to just play along with it and fulfill whatever that was, right? But it was luck, opportunities that happened. And I bet a lot of these happened when I was 20, but I was just not ready to take advantage of them in any meaningful way, right? So I think the skill set systems, like, they do play a part, you know, and then luck has a huge part of it. And then, you know, some people say, like, oh, you got lucky. No, motherfucker, I got lucky and I played along with it. I got it done. A lot of people get luck in front of them, they just can't pull it off, right? So I never knock someone for being lucky, unless it's like the lottery. They're gonna be broke anyways. But I still think that's funny, right? What I'm saying would work. Like, if you get a, let's say someone calls you up now and says, like, you know, we want you to speak at the Tony Robbins event. Like, you would be like, I'm down. But if you were 20, for example, have never done a speaking gig and had no skill sets, like, you'd be like, you know?
I don't know, man. If I was 20, I'd still be down. But I think what you did say, though, is pretty interesting about luck and then running with the luck. And expanding that and move. So here's the difference. Probably if on the Tony Robbins thing, if I were 20, I'd be soaking up the moment for the moment.
Yeah.
Now that I'm 50, I would soak up the moment for the future. Right?
Yeah.
So I think that is definitely something that, I mean, even just the things that I do right now, I'm always looking fast forward a little bit more than I used to before. You know, I think when you're young, you really are about the experience, and you know, or you feel like you know, that it's going to come again soon.
Yeah.
And that's the way you feel because time is so compressed. You've only been on the earth for 20, 25 years, and all of a sudden you had this win, this win, this win. You feel like you're a winner, a constant winner. Right? But you haven't been through, oh, this is good. You haven't been through the winter.
Yeah, there's a lot of winters. But if we just
there's take a lot of winters.
But if we take a step back, right? Like the thing is, Tony Robbins would not call you when you were 20 because you haven't set up your life and that luck would not find you, right? So there's a part of that system, like how do we set up the systems to have luck find us? Because that's a big thing too, right? And two, like with the winter, so I had a conversation with a few buddies of mine, right? We were at a conference, like pretty high end, but you have, you know, two groups. You got the 20s and then you got the 30, 40, you know, year olds, right? And I look fairly young, but one of my friends looks older, right? And he says like, ah, oh, they weren't respecting me because they thought I'm too old to give any real advice. And I'm like, well, one, it's bullshit. Two, do you actually want to talk to them? Because me, I was in that group where like I could, and they kept talking to me, but I was like, I'm trying to find a way out. Like, I don't want to talk with you. Like, they haven't had the winters yet. Like, these, they're all thinking, like, they're going to fly through this whole life. I'm like, dude, the first wall will stop half of you. Like, you're going to hit that wall head first, yes. And it's going to be like, I'm out.
Yeah. Yes, yes, yes. That is so true. It is so true. But, and I do feel, you know, and see, there's some people that gravitate towards that. Because what you're talking about is not wanting to be the smartest guy in the circle.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and it's like that's an uncomfortable place to be. I'm really comfortable with that on stage, but off the stage, I do not want to be the smartest guy in the circle or to feel like I am, you know, with all the questions and all the eyeballs and all the ears are on me. That's not where I want to be. I want to be where I'm listening, where I'm taking notes, you know, because, yeah, I definitely get it.
Yeah, this was one of my first speaking engagements that I've done. I kind of got tricked into it, but it was fine, right? And I'm super confident. I gave good shit on stage. But then the same thing you said, when I got off stage and I got people running up to me, I'm like, yo, I'm not your business coach. I'm not your life coach. I'm not going to, you know what I mean? Like, I'm not into this. Like, I actually don't like these people. Because I've had some of my friends are business coaches, right? And they always try to coach me when we're just having, you know, a conversation, right? And I'm like, dude, stop. Like, this one is just, you know, he kept on trying to sell me on doing Instagram. And I'm like, why the fuck would I do Instagram in my business? Like, do you even know what my business is? And he's like, he keeps trying, man. He's giving me all the tactics. And I'm like, dude, just stop trying to coach me. Or they had this other guy who was like a sales coach, right? Sleazy, man. Like, he just made me feel like he's trying to sell me a car the whole time. And, like, he's just going up to everyone saying, double your prices. And I'm like, dude. Like, really?
And you're like.
Pretty much. Like, you know.
They couldn't see that, so that's good. But, yes, you're just like, wow, you're so wise. I've never heard that before. Oh, man. Yeah. And, you know, and that's the funny thing sometimes about, you know, and I do coaching. I mean, I'm not a coach, but I get it because what ends up happening is that you get these people that are coaches and they're so used to the level of people that they're coaching, they think all people are on that level.
Yeah, so that's, I've thought about that too because I've done some coaching and there are certain coaches I do respect, right? Like, for example, if you've been working at a factory in China and helping manufacturers come in, blah, 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 for 20, 30 years, and you have someone else who's just trying to get this done in China, you're just like, yeah, I could easily coach you on this.
Absolutely.
But that's very different from like this generic business coach or life coach, right? Like those are the ones who I shit on. Like there's expert coaches, like with me, you know, if you have a course that's been selling and you're just having a problem scaling it, and I've been through it, I'm like, I can definitely help you with that, but I'm not gonna build your business for you.
Right.
Know? Or just give you like generic advice like, oh yeah, you have a course? Yeah, just double your pricing. You know, it's like, I can't do that. It's bullshit. So I do, you know, there's a thing about experts and a thing about these generic coaches. And this guy was a generic sales coach, right? Like everything he said was just like, he had like three phrases, like double your pricing, do cold calls and something else. Like it was the same thing to everyone. I was like, dude, like you don't know anything about me or my business.
But that is supposed to work for all businesses.
Well, what I think is he finds the 5% of the people who are gullible enough, and he's running with that. You know, and that's, I think, this thing with the coaches like that, these generic ones, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm not a fan. And when I seen that, I was like, dude, like, but he had good presence on stage. I'll give him that, man. Like, he was a really good speaker.
He's a sales guy.
Yeah. I when I seen it, I was like, he had people into it, engaged. I mean, it's like when they're selling timeshares, right? Like, sometimes the presentation's so good, you don't catch on to the bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah. Or their banter is so, yeah. You know, I mean, it's like you really feel like you are buds. You're like, hold on, wait a minute. They're getting ready to close now. That's what's happening. You know, I get it.
The buds. But, yeah, so the thing, like, with me, and this is not a popular answer. Someone's asked me, like, can you help me with this and this problem? I'm like, it depends. You know, because I don't have an off-the-cuff answer. I'm always like, dude, like, there's so many variables.
You got to dig deeper.
Anyone that tries to simplify it and say it's a one thing that's going to fix your business without knowing it is probably full of shit. You know, there's something else going on there.
Right. And you look at the numbers, too. I mean, you said the 5%. It's really probably about the 85%.
You think so?
Because if you think about it, you know, when we talk about business in general, they say, you know, 20% or 80% of the business are going to fail. And that leaves you with 20% that are successful. But then after 5 years, that 20%, 80% of those are gone. So, I mean, he's playing in a very big field. Coaches and general business coaches are actually playing in a very big field of losers. I don't want to say losers. That's bad.
Well, not really. You know, I just read that book by Scott Adams, Loser Think.
Loser Think?
Loser Think, yeah. And he's kind of explaining all these different ways that, you know, ourselves, we think like losers when we just don't see something, right? So I don't think it's a bad word, right? Like, sometimes we just don't have the right way of looking at things. So the way he explains it in the book, like, this is the way the economist looks at the world, the business person looks at the world, the scientist. You know, and if you don't know all of these different ways, like, you are a loser to a lot of them because you're just not seeing it. You're stuck, right? So I don't think it's a bad thing. It's just we all have moments of loser think, you know, where it's like, oh, especially with politics, right? If you read anything and none of us are fully informed because half of it is fake news, but anytime you have like an instinct to be like, yeah, that's right, like, that's a part of loser think because we just don't know.
Right.
You know, so, and I'm not into politics much at all. So when he mentioned that, I was like, yeah, probably anytime I say it, you know, an article is like, yeah, that's spot on. I'm probably just not getting it at all.
But it's because you're a political loser, bro.
Yeah, because it's not my field and I'm not that interested, you know.
So right.
That's why, like, even sometimes you'll post something and I'm just like, huh, I just don't get it. But it's just not my field. Because I have almost zero interest. Right. Because but that's what he was explaining, right? And then, you know.
No, that makes sense. And I'm sure, I mean, you know, I live with a scientist. You know, I sit and we'll watch Jeopardy, and he gets like 70% of the questions right. You know? I mean, some days he just is on and he runs the board almost. And I'm just like, you know, that's really great, but your business acumen is shit, you know? And you don't know any of the top 10 pop questions. You know what I'm saying? He knows nothing about pop. But I get it, you know? It's like, yeah, there's disciplines of information that people excel at. And there's very few people that can do it across most or all of those. So we do have loser think in certain areas.
Yeah, he pretty much just meant it's blind spots, right? If you don't know these blind spots, you'll have loser think, which is, I think, normal. Which is kind of funny at a business conference, having loser think in business stuff, right? Like, it's that part I find funny, you know? Like, you are in a business conference, you're running a business.
Yeah.
But I do find that even with just my clients for the marketing stuff, like, I say I'm marketing, and they want me to run their business for them. I'm like, dude, I'm not an operations manager. I'm not going to be doing your IT for you. I'm not going to be doing strategy for your whole business. I do marketing. Like, you know, and they just don't get it. They don't even know what marketing is. Like, the foundations are completely off.
So is marketing, and I'm asking a rhetorical question, but is Okay, here's the thing. When it comes to business, there's so many disciplines inside of business. There's management, right? And managing people and organizing. There's marketing. There's logistics. I mean, there's so many areas where people could have blind think right inside of business.
It's true. It's true. But I just find that you should have way less of that if that's what you're going after. If you're trying to run a business, you know, like you should really make sure to handle those blind spots as quickly as possible. You know, I'm not asking you to think like a scientist because you're not going to be a scientist, but you're going to be a business person. You're putting money and effort and time into being a business guy. Like those blind spots should be gone pretty fast, I think. I mean, you should put effort into it.
Well, either you put effort into it or you really need to do, you need to step back and realize where your blind spots are. And you're going to either fill that with knowledge and do for self, or you're going to have to start outsourcing that knowledge and either hire somebody, you know, to work in your business with you that has that for you. You know, it's the yin and the yang kind of thing. So even in my business, my partner, I mean, you know, he's, like I said, he's really good with the science shit, you know? So when it comes to doing finance and systems, he's the one, you know? But when it comes to risk, you know, handling risk mitigation, horrible, horrible.
Okay. Well, so, but if I ask them what marketing is, I don't think he would say that finance is a part of it, right? Like he knows
no,
the separations.
Not at all.
Yeah, he knows the separations. And that's the thing. Like some of these people don't even know where the things separate.
That's because they think that they're good business people.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why they get good business coaches.
Yeah. All the way back. No. Bring it all the way back.
No, I mean, look. That's good. In a way, like, if you're a moron, like, you deserve what you deserve. Like, you know, it kind of is like that.
Yeah, well, I think ultimately we kind of make our own way. Ultimately, you know, things work out the way they're going to work out and supposed to work out. At some point.
Yeah, I think so.
Although I've seen people go through life, man, just luck after luck after luck.
That is true too, but there's got to be some follow through. Like there's got to be something. Otherwise,
there's got to be something. Yeah. Yeah, you can't just be lucky and be here.
Yeah, because I mean, like I said, luck hits a lot of people and they just don't take it, or they just mess it up completely and it doesn't find them again. Right. So there's a lot of that too. So if someone's getting lucky constantly and making things happen, like there's something that we're just not seeing, you know. But I don't think it's. It's just luck. It's got to be more than that.
Yeah. It's definitely, it's all really, I mean, let me ask you, do you watch Survivor? Have you ever watched Survivor?
But maybe like 10 years ago, I've seen like one or two episodes.
Okay, so no, you've never watched Survivor.
No, not really into those shows. But we, you know, we were talking about the rhythm and flow, right?
Yeah, you watched that, okay.
I watched that, and there was some luck involved in that, too. You know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you have to have elements of luck or it's not a game.
So, like, the one part which I've seen, and it was all luck, is when they were rapping with someone famous, you know, which person did they get?
I don't think there was any bad people, though.
No, it's not the bad people, though, right? But it's all about...
But they could be a bad match.
A bad match, right? So there's a big luck factor involved. You know, if I just set you up randomly with, like, five good singers, like, you're not going to have the same vibe with all of them, right? So there was some...
No.
That was definitely luck involved, too, in that. But, too, let's say someone got dealt a fairly lucky hand, because, first of all, just to be in that room, you're still lucky. Now it's the follow-through. Maybe you don't vibe with this guy, but you got lucky to be in the same room, so now it's the follow-through.
And it's the professionalism, and it's, you know, you're being able to work. And so that's what I was going to say about, you know, Survivor, is a lot of that game has a whole lot to do with relationships and how you interact with other people. You know, it's a singular game. There's only one winner, but a lot of the social aspect of the game is very important. And the same thing in business. You know, I got in business in the e-commerce space 2000s. It was very small in terms of, you know, e-commerce was not as nowhere near as huge as it is. It was a small niche, and I got into it literally to be almost invisible. So I didn't have to interact and have relationships. And now, you know, here we are 20 years later, and it really is all about making good relationships. So when it comes to life in general, I think mitigating relationships is very important in business, but in life in general.
That's true.
So when you talk about, when you talk about getting lucky and maybe meeting somebody and then how you play it after that, once the luck has hit, a lot of that has to do with the relationship you and how you deal with the luck going forward from that too.
Yeah, that's huge. I've been really thinking about that too. Because like even when we met, think about all the other people you met at the same time. How many are you still in contact with? And you still...
You will not believe who I talked to yesterday.
Who did you talk to?
I talked to Dara yesterday.
But she's awesome too. Like she is...
She is awesome. Yes, she is awesome. You know, but that's luck.
Yeah.
You know, the luck was I met you two guys. I remember the other person. I can't remember how many people were in the room. Really? But there was only... How many were there in the room?
At least 12 or 13.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. And seriously, I might remember 5.
And that's what I mean, right? Like, we are put in one spot. We all got lucky, right? We all got put into that spot, but who took advantage of it? Right? So, yeah. And this happens constantly, right? Like, I remember when I was in my 20s, and I got put into a party in the Hamptons with some of the top Wall Street guys. One of them was Jim Chanos, right? This is one of the richest guy in the States. Did I take advantage of it? I didn't even know the first thing to do.
Or how to even take advantage of it.
Yeah, I had no clue. And for a lot of people in the right spot, if you put them into that position where they could just hang out with some of these richest people in the country, they would have made a lot happen.
Right? Yeah.
I just got thrown into it. But but when I think back, like there's nothing I could have done at that moment. I was in the music industry.
Yeah, you just,
I had nothing to do with these people.
And that happens sometimes. And that happens sometimes. You never know. Have you talked to him ever since then? Reached out ever?
Just with the guy who put me into the party. Like we've, you know, okay. Kind of, you know, and once again, another thing which I completely ignored. Early 2011, he was a big Wall Street guy. I'm over at his house. He's like, Tom, here's this article. Get into Bitcoin.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm going to go back to the studio and record now.
Dude, $100.
Dude, I think it was like $10 for Bitcoin back then, or $7.
That's what I'm saying. If you just spent $100.
Yeah, but that's what I mean, right? Another thing. He gave me a pretty much laid it out. He opened the article. He's like, I kept this for you.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, but this is what I mean, right? Like, when you say people got lucky... I've got lucky with a lot of stuff, and I follow through on it, but I got lucky in a lot of different ways, and I just completely missed the boat.
So opportunity is constantly coming at us as long as we're here on the planet.
Yeah.
For most people. You know, for most people. And that's another thing. I don't know if we give ourselves – let's put it like this. Me and you both were lucky just because of where we were born.
Maybe.
Where were you born?
I was born in Poland. It was a shithole, shithole.
Darn. How far after that did you move to the States?
I was around 10.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It was a hard spot. It was a hard spot, man.
Like, it was a hard. That's hard.
Yeah.
That's hard because that's a hard transition.
Yeah.
Right. However, part of your resilience today has a whole lot to do with that entire thing.
It is. And it's a lot of just of the interactions I have with people and who I get along with is because of that too, right? Like, it's all based on those days. Yeah, I definitely agree.
But I mean, for me, I was just going to say, I mean, I'm luckier than, you know, probably 90% of the world just because I was born in America. Just that alone was a lucky thing that I had nothing to do with.
Yeah, and I feel the same way in some ways, because for me to be able to get out of that country when I was 10 right. and move to the States, yes. I'm definitely behind everyone who was born in the States with luck, but I'm still way luckier than anyone else who was born in the same place I was, you know?
Right.
So it's like different, you know, ways of thinking about it. I can definitely shit on a lot of Americans. I'm like, dude, if you've been born in the U.S. and you're way worse off than me, I'm like, dude, what the fuck happened to you? Like, we came to the U.S. with $500 in our pocket when I was 10. Like, there's, yeah. you know, there's nothing you can say. I don't care if you're from the ghetto or anywhere. It's like, there's no way in the world you had less than us when we came. Like, yeah. we didn't even know the language.
Right.
Right.
So, right. But see, you know what? That becomes an asset to certain people. Because I looked at, I remember this is a story I told a friend of mine the other day. When I was going to high school, and I was in Ohio, and you remember they used to call them boat people. So they were Asians that came over on boats.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, because everybody came over. But they were Cambodians. Mm. All right? And they were Asian, Cambodian, and we used to call them boat people. And I remember we would go to school in the mornings when it was dark, and I would be riding the bus, and they would be out in the field with headlamps on picking up worms. That's how they used to make money, because they didn't have any, you know, they came here probably with the same 500, you know, that they may have gotten. They couldn't speak the language, couldn't get a real job, you know, but they were doing what they had to do to feed their children. But if I go back now to that same neighborhood and those same people, they are running the show. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, and like you said, they have jumped in forward over many Americans that were born here. But it's that it's the situation that they had to go through that made them tighter, stronger. Their families, you know, will spend money with each other and support each other. Whereas we're like, man, fuck you. I don't give a shit. You know, you do your thing, I do my thing. It's just really weird how certain things can formulate who you are and what you will accomplish that we don't even think about.
Well, like in my family, there was no entitlement whatsoever.
None.
Right? I'm like, sure. We never even thought about it. Like, no, you're not entitled to shit. Like, my grandma, she was barely making anything her whole life in the U.S., and she wouldn't take any help from the government because she was scared that she's going to have to pay it back.
Mm.
That's how, you know, much she was against it. She's like, I'm not. Even if they said, like, I'll give you some food stamps, she's like, nope. Because you're going to be asking.
Because I don't want to owe nobody
yeah,
nothing.
That's pretty much it, yeah. Like, wow. Recently, I found there's a big correlation in how much loser think there is and the people who like the Joker movie.
Really?
I did, yeah. Yeah, because that whole movie was about mental illness, entitlement, and victimhood. And if for people that like that movie, I'm just like, what did you like about it? Because I was like, this movie is garbage.
Wow. Guess what? I never saw it.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, like, I've had some people that go through it, and all the successful people around me are like, dude, that was the most dark, horrible movie I've ever seen. I don't want to see anything like that again. And then I've seen some people who are in, like, 9-to-5s, don't make shit, like, it's the best movie in the world. I'm like, I'm definitely seeing that. It's that same guy who thinks Bill Gates should give him $1 million from his $100 billion. You know, he's going to be well off. Like, it's those same people, right? Like, dude, that think that Bill Gates actually has $100 billion in his bank account.
Wow.
You know,
now, you're saying there's a story about that, or are you thinking that?
Well, if you see the movie, you would see that it's just complete loser thing.
Like, no, I'm saying that the were you talking about people that like that movie?
Yeah, so I've seen enough just from my experience. And I've had a few other people, too, who've been thinking about this, and they looked at their audience, you know, because they have big audiences on the blogs and things, and they said the same exact thing.
Wow.
That there's a huge correlation between people who are going to make it and not make it. Did you like that movie or not?
Dude, you know what? Question of the day tomorrow.
Yeah. Yes.
That is the question of the day tomorrow.
Yeah, did you like the Joker movie?
We're going to do that.
Or
that's
you can go
be
slick.
Awesome.
Like, what did you like about the Joker movie? Just put them in the bad situation.
We're gonna do that tomorrow just as a test. That's good.
Well, yeah, because it's weird, man. Like, when I watched that, I was like, man, this is horrible. And you've seen how popular it was in the States, right? People are saying, like,
yeah, that's, I mean, it was huge.
Yeah. And I'm like, dude, this is, like, if this is how America is, this is getting scary.
Oh, man, you know what? This is how America's always been. And I'm not going to delve into politics right now. But people are like, America's changed. I'm like, no, this is how America's been forever. They're like, fake news. No, the news for me as a black male American has always been fucking fake. Everything they've ever said about me and my people has always been fake. I don't know. I'm glad you people are waking up to politics and the bullshit in America. But it's not new. This is
yeah.
nothing new.
Yeah, I completely agree. When's the last time you heard any good news about Polish people?
Exactly.
What?
Hello?
And
you know?
And this is a part of the upbringing, too, which, you know, people said, like, racism is showing up now. I was like, really? Where have you been?
Yeah, right?
Because when I moved to the States, almost all the white Americans were just, you know, being assholes because, like, oh, you're a Polak, right? Like, it was a normal thing.
Right.
And almost all of my friends were ethnic. And that's just any ethnicity. Because we were all kind of in the same boat. It's like we're all shit on, right?
Yeah.
But then when I got into the music industry and I was in hip hop, I had quite a few of the black hip hop guys being racist,
oh,
right?
Oh yeah.
And one of them, I remember we were walking during a blackout. It was weird because he's being racist, but he's still walking with me and like enjoying the conversation, right? I'm like, this is funny. And he's like, oh, man, maybe you should go that way with your people. Right? And he's pointing at some Jewish people. And I'm like, dude, I'm like, you have more in common with them than me. Like, you were all born here. And then he just didn't know what to say. But it was, you know, like the racism, I've seen it all the way through. You know, I've had some people like the white people come into the music industry and they were racist as hell. I'm like, why are you in hip hop?
Yeah, like, that's weird, right?
Why are you in this music if you are not liking anyone except your middle class, you know, whatever? So, yeah, just like when people say, you know, like, I'm like, dude, where have you been? Like, this is like this is a normal thing.
Well, yeah, they've been asleep. They've been lulled to sleep, you know, and now people are taking a wake up pill. And here we are.
And it's funny. Like,
and that's the entire world, too. The world's waking up to the reality, because the reality of us waking up here is waking up the rest of the world to the perpetrated lie that's been spread around about how great we are as a nation. So it's kind of the cycle that I'm seeing going on is very unique. It's amazing.
I think all it shows now is people who have thick or thin skin. And anyone who's been shit upon, we all have thicker skin. Like, we don't, you know, like, whatever, dude.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah, but if someone's never dealt with it before, now it's all just like, oh man, I'm outraged, I think in business it's the same thing, man. Like, you can easily find the people with thick and thin skin, and see how they deal with the walls that they hit, right? These winters,
yeah, because they will come, you know, they will come, and I don't. You know, I mean, we always look at the economy, and I like I always say, about every 10 years, the economy falls apart, and we're a little overdue, you know? So people are kind of lulled to sleep and think this is going to be the way things are going forward forever. But I remember how many of those, you know, multi-million dollar businesses that were in the e-commerce space in 2007 literally didn't exist by 2010.
I actually feel like 2021 or two, we're going to get hit super hard again. Like, I just have that feeling. So for me, like, when people are like trying to coast now, I'm like, dude, this is like the moment where you got to pile up your cash.
Dig in.
You got to dig in, cut your expenses as much as possible. Because when it hits, like, you want to be that guy with extra money around that can buy up whatever's happening, you know, and not the one that's like, oh man, how do I survive? Like, you don't want to be that
fortune.
Spot.
fortunes are we feel like now fortunes are being made, but most long money is made during slow times. And when the slow time comes, yes, you're right. You want to be that one. That, going back to the actual original topic, that 1,000% is the thing that I wish I would have listened to in my 20s.
So what would you tell yourself?
I would tell myself that every 10 years, the economy is going to fall apart. And if you have extra money, then that's when you invest. Yeah. Because it always bounces back.
What else would you tell yourself? Because I'm curious, right? Other than, you know, like how to have luck find you, the winters, the social part, which is huge.
Compound interest, bro. I could not understand the concept of compounded interest. Even though it was on the, you know, you could put it in a calculator and see it and put, you know, little numbers like 8%, yeah. You know? That shit never, ever interest me, you know? And there's money that I had that sat all these years, and now I've seen it grow, right? But you don't understand, like, that first 10 years, it's not really going to do a whole lot of shit. It's the last 20, the last 10 years, actually, that you'll be like, damn, that's, I can't, you just can't, I don't think you can imagine that. You can't imagine when you buy your house what it's like 30 years after you buy it when the mortgage is done. It's just, you can't, I don't think you have the capacity in your brain for most people to understand money that long out. I don't think many people do.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. I always thought about the compounding stuff when I was younger, but the banks never wanted to compound your money for you. Like, they would do, like, this annual garbage, right? So I was like, how do you compound stuff? But there are ways of doing it. I just couldn't figure it out. I just looked at the easiest solutions, and they just weren't, you know. Like, the banks, they will compound themselves, but not for you.
Not for you, no. They pay you out every year. Yeah. So I didn't get that. Let me see, what other thing? Not that you will fail, but failure's okay. I think I beat myself up way too much when I failed at something for way too long.
Yeah, like, what I realized is, because a lot of people always say, like, oh, Tom, like, you don't embarrass or anything, or you don't care what people think. And I'm like, it's not really that. It might seem like that, but what happens is I failed so many times and I got embarrassed so many times. And a year later, I don't even remember those moments where it just doesn't hit me as much. Because I know, like, no matter what I do, most people just care about themselves. And in a year, no one's going to, they're like, vaguely remember that I even done anything. Like, if I speak and just completely, you know, ruin whatever I tried to do, no one's going to remember that.
No, not much longer after that day.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Like, a year from now, like, no one's going to be like, oh, Tom bombed during that 1 minute other presentation.
Right.
Most people.
So, yeah. What would you tell yourself, Tom? At 20, what do you wish you'd listen to or could tell yourself?
I think the main thing would be just creating those systems, right? Create better systems that have luck find you, right? Like, just think about skills, you know, create skill sets. And those could be, you know, business writing, public speaking, maybe better social interactions when you think long term. Right? Because, you know, when we're younger and we're hustling, you know, like, we don't look at a crackhead like, that's going to be like a 10-year plan, you know?
Right, yeah.
that's like, you know, a couple of weeks and, like, let's move on to the next one. Like, it's just, you know, different thought than if you're like a long-term business than when you're hustling on, like, your next venture, which is like, all right, let's just make some money and then we move to the next thing. I would tell myself more of that. Like, if you think long-term, like, don't try to be serial entrepreneur, because that usually means that you just can't get anything right. Like, think about how to just bring value and focus that hustle, right? Like, on one thing.
On one thing.
Well, yeah, so at least it doesn't have to be one business, but at least in the same niche, you know, in the same niche, just something where you kind of have, like, don't move from one thing to the next too far.
No, I'm sitting here absorbing that. just thinking about if somebody had told me that at 20. God, I mean, I am king of jack of all trades.
Yeah, and I've done the same thing, but it said hustle, right? Like if someone said like, well, you can be a jack of all trades in e-commerce, but just focus on e-commerce from day one. Like focus on one thing. Focus on that one niche that you will dominate. And you can still jump around. You can do so many things in e-commerce. But just focus on that. And I think that would have been really good advice for me instead of jumping from this industry to that industry. Like, oh, now I'm selling finance stuff. Now I'm in the music business. Now I'm doing this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Think
I had so many businesses back in the day. Yeah, absolutely.
But I think when you really start seeing success find you is once you actually focused in on one niche, right? Like for a long time, it was e-commerce, I think, with you, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Matter of fact, you know, I've had so many different runarounds and inroads, and that still, that is constantly I'm running into that wall. And not in a bad way anymore, right? Not in a bad way. It's like now I'm like, dude, this is you. Stop tripping.
Yeah, like we spoke about this not too long ago. You've been trying to get away from it, get past it. I'm like, I mean, it's kind of, but I think, you know, you can still use that momentum. Like, why would you completely shut it out? You know, it's like it doesn't really.
And like you said, there's so many areas and, you know, things right inside of that one discipline, you know? So don't even feel like you're being pigeonholed if when you say to them, focus in on one thing, it's still not pigeonholing you to just one thing because there's so many facets to the one thing. And if you find the facets, you will master the one thing. That's the whole mastery of it, is finding all of the different onion skins and peeling those away.
Yeah,
and you get mastery.
That's true. So like with me, it's mostly marketing. And anything within marketing, I can play with. If I want to market courses, that's fine. If I want to do some kind of software in that space, it's fine. If I want to just help people write ads, I can do that. If I want to play with copywriting, well, it's still part of marketing. Like, you know, there's like there's so many things within that. But I just feel like let me just stick within that umbrella, right? Like I'm just not going to go into coding or something. You know, that's not
right.
That would be a horrible choice right now. Because we do switch businesses. We need to pivot. You know, most people, if they don't pivot, the business goes down at some point and it just doesn't recover. Right. So we need pivots. But it's just that thing. Just stay in your lane. Stay in that one marketing lane. And if you pivot, be within that.
Yeah. So it's, you can pivot, but do you have to make a right turn all the time? No.
Yeah. And don't switch industries. Like, that's the main thing. Like, stop switching industries. Like, it's not greener on the other side. It's the same bus. They're just.
Yeah. It's never. It always looks like it. It looks like it, but it's not, man. There's always parts you don't see. There's ugly parts up under there somewhere.
Yeah, like when I think of you, you know, books and speaking, right? And I think that kind of propelled a lot of it. But that can be done in any industry.
Any industry.
Yeah.
Any industry.
Would you tell yourself to start speaking sooner?
You know, what I tell myself to start, I don't think I had an opportunity. I don't think I had the, here's the deal. And I don't know if we ever talked about that, but you know, I used to be an MC.
Yeah.
So I've always, the voice was always the thing that I was best at. So maybe it would have been great if I recognized that that was my gift. I don't think I ever recognized that until I got on, you know, stage and really just did that. But all of the things that I did, I did with that. So no, I think that was pretty good. That was right on time.
Yeah, because I feel like there's a lot of people trying to build their personal brands, right? And that's just all through the social media speaking and stuff, but they have nothing to say, really.
No, they don't.
And, you know, I've seen, there's a book, I'm not going to name the two guys because they're actually cool guys, but there's a book that came out, you know, about building your personal brand. Each one's got, like, I think one's got 300,000 followers, one's got a million something, and they went broke. While the book is being promoted, right? Like, just everything went away, and I'm like, well, so if these guys who built this personal brand.
Yeah, but the personal, here's the thing, man. The personal, and that's why I wrote my book. All right, and I'm not trying to plug my book, but when I wrote, because I want to put the title out here, you know,
it
was Kick-Ass. It was Kick-Ass Social Commerce, right? And the deal was, I sold the title to the publisher because they liked the title, right? But then I was like, the subtitle of the book is that it's not about likes, it's about sales, and that was really the book.
Yeah.
And the deal was, everybody was putting out these social books. You remember social media? If you just think about it, one of the big things at the beginning was give away an iPad and get people to like you.
Right.
And then you get all these likes. You know, that was social. That's still personal brand. It's still the same thing. It's like if you get a million people to like you. But they've had multiple instances where people with a million followers can't sell a book, can't sell a T-shirt, is because it's not about how many people like you or how many people follow you. It's about how many people will give you money. And it all goes back to this old saying, and it's not a saying, it's actually a teaching about the 1,000 fans. I don't know if you ever heard of that.
Yep.
1,000 true fans. It's all about 1,000 true fans. I know people with millions of followers, hundreds of thousands of followers, they don't have 1,000 fans. They couldn't get 1,000 people to piss on them if they were on fire.
Yeah, I agree. But the thing is, if you do have those followers and they do buy from you, at one point, someone like Instagram gets pissed off that there's money leaving the table, and they just they take away the likes. It's done.
Right. And that's what they're getting ready to do.
Yeah, but that's the one thing, right? Because, like, all my friends with e-commerce brands now, they're like, oh, business is so easy, man. You just pay each influencer, like, $50, and they show your stuff on their picture. And I'm like, well, I think Instagram wants that $50.
Yes, they do.
You know?
Yes, they do. There's a lot of money being made in that industry with that influencer stuff, and they're like, you know what? We're not going to keep fueling that until we can get our hands on that money, and that's exactly what they're going to do.
Yeah, so I think it'd be an easy thing. Like, yeah, you can pay someone $50 that's got like 2,000 people following it, but you got to do it through the platform. And we're the ones going to get that money, and maybe just throw like a little bone to the influencer or something. I don't know. I don't know how they're going to do it, but they're definitely going to take that money.
Yeah. They're doing that. Matter of fact, I've heard, you know, another one that's that Facebook might be stopping the ability to go straight from a Facebook ad to a webinar.
Oh, yeah.
They're missing a lot of money.
Yeah, they've been saying that it's a horrible user experience. I think it's just people are making too much money.
They're making too much money. It's a horrible Facebook user experience because Facebook as the user are not experiencing the money. So that's horrible for them.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if Facebook like created their own webinar platform and then charged like 30% off each sale that you make off the webinar on top of it.
Yeah, you know what? Honestly, go for it. I'd pay them the 30%.
I would too, but I'm just saying, like, I wouldn't be surprised if they just made that play. Because, you know, initially they're saying they're going to just stop the ads, but I think that will hurt their income. And then it's like, how do we figure it out? How do we make this happen again, right? But that's the whole danger, right, with these personal brands and these platforms. And that's why I've never really wanted to build stuff on it, because every time I did, and I did make good money, it stopped at some point. Like, always something happened. It either got shut down or a rule changed or, you know, just always something. I'm like, you can't build a long business. Oh, that's something I would tell myself too when I was younger. Like,
what's that?
Do not let any other company control your business.
Yes. Or your audience, for me.
Or, well, yeah, so both, right? Just anything. But your audience is your business in a way, right?
Cause it that's, is.
Yeah, so.
You know what? Dude, I'm writing that down. Your audience is your business. Everybody take out your pen and write that down. He said something really good. That is a good saying. You know, well, yeah. And I don't think people understand that.
So, you know, when someone says email is dead, I'm like, yeah, but that's the one thing you control. So, but I've had people saying that to me. I'm like, maybe you're just really shitty at it. But look, like, that's the one thing you control. Like, you own that list. I hope you own it. I hope you back it up, too, because ConvertKit, if they go down.
Right, exactly, because ConvertKit could go down. So you got to have a backup strategy. You need that list. Oh, man, I love that. Your audience is your business. And the funny thing is, a lot of people don't have that connection with their audience outside of the platform.
Yeah, like I don't have a big audience because I've never tried to build it. But everyone that really interacts with me, I have them on my list, my own list. And it's, you know, it's close to 1,000 people now. But I know if I email those 1,000 people, like, each one of them is going to be like, what's up, Tom?
So it's back to the 1,000, man.
Yeah, it's not yet 1,000. I think it's like 700, 800. But they're actual fans. Like, if I say something, they will listen, which I think is way more powerful than if I had 100,000, who knows what type of people on Twitter following me.
Yeah.
You know, because, like, these people, yeah, I know almost all of them personally.
Wow.
Yeah.
I know I've got close to 1,000 somewhere, right?
But you control
just
it.
Just in terms of, but I need more control over it. And I need to communicate with them more.
Yeah, so that second part I'm also struggling a bit with. But I've seen just how important that list is, and I keep thinking, like, how do I make this interaction happen so it doesn't take too much of my time too? Because that's a big thing, right? Like, it's, you know.
Right, but it only has to be, look, it only has to be once a month.
That's true, yeah. So I've been thinking about
that's
that.
That's 12 times a year.
I'm going to write that down.
That's serious. I'm serious, bro. 12 times. Not only is it 12 times a year, I will go even further. It's 12 gifts. Give them 12 gifts a year. Whatever that gift comes out as, you know, something that you wrote specifically for them, a cool idea you got, a neat tool you found, a great interview that you did, and just give it to them as a gift, you know. Hey, here's a gift, guys, and this, because you're some of my favorites. Here's for you.
Yeah.
12.
Yeah, I think that's
what I'm going to write down.
Yeah,
I need 12 gifts.
Wow, this is like we're business coaching each other now.
And then I'm going to go around on stage, and all I'm going to say is 12 gifts because your audience is your business. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Buy my shit.
That could be your next book. That could be your next book.
That is funny. Oh my gosh. Yeah, absolutely, man. Absolutely. So there you go. There you have it.
How did your Bali thing go? Because we spoke about it on the podcast, so I think it's a good thing to kind of mention it.
Which is what?
Your Bali event. Because we mentioned it the last time we spoke.
Oh, the Bali event. Oh my, man, dude. Wow. I wish you were there. That's all I can say.
Man,
I wish you were.
I wish I was too. It was just a horrible timing with the visa.
But oh, I know.
I think next year, if you're still doing it, I will.
No, I'm definitely doing it. Yeah, we're definitely doing it next year. And the deal was, and I'll just tell you, man, the vision and the dream that I had, you know, like on that first video I put out, I'm like, look, I'm trying to get together, you know, 10 people that I could really bond with, make new connections with, and on both a business and a personal level, 1 week in Bali. Come do it. And I mean, we did that thing to the nth degree. Only the first 3 days did we do like intensive stuff. And then the second half of the week, we just hung out and partied and went and did tours and shopped. And I mean, it was the perfect environment, perfect setting. and the perfect result. I was extremely transformed by Bali, and I really want to, you know, have other people experience that with us next year. So yes, definitely doing it.
Yeah, because we just talked about other conferences, and I'm so conferenced out. I don't know.
Are you? You've been doing a lot of conferences, man.
I've been to enough. I feel like, and I love more of these like week long things, where there's only a few people involved, the right people, than just going to this huge conference and.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, but I mean, we had fun at Traffic and Conversions, but would I want to do it again so soon? I don't know.
See, the deal is, I did it the following year, and I didn't have nowhere near the same experience.
You see, there you go. Yeah, because I missed that one. I thought, well, maybe I'll go to the next one, but now it seems like a lot of people are not going either. Like, I see there's more emphasis on these smaller things, like baby bathwater. You probably heard about that, right?
I've heard it. Yeah. Shit, that's not small anymore.
Yeah, but the events themselves, they don't have that many people at each event, right? They'll have like 30, 40 people, right? So that's what I mean. Like, these smaller things, I think, just bring much more value to me than just going around and like, oh, let's figure out of these 5,000 people who's interesting.
Yeah, and I mean, there's only so much you can do for me in, you know, a 40-minute presentation.
Yeah, but I'm not even going to get to know these people, really, right? Like,
it's better. The 5,000?
Yeah.
No.
You know, I usually end up hanging out with the people I know already and maybe meet, like, one or two. Like, I found for my business, it's better to look at those, the speaker list, and just bring whoever's interesting on my show.
Yeah.
And I get much more out of that than I would if I went out there and maybe got 15 minutes with them.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. I can see that. I think that was one of the things, you know, one of the days we bring in, and this is where I would have you come in, as we bring in experts on one of the days, and we kind of flip the script, and we put the expert in the hot seat.
Mm.
And it's not like, And it's for them to tell their story and everything. But at the end of the day, or at the end of the story, everybody in the group gets to ask them questions.
Mm.
And, you know, but you're sitting in that hot seat. So not only are you, you know, psychologically, I think it does something to the participants, because they see that person that is, you know, the expert, but he's also in the vulnerable chair. And it lets them open up and ask different questions. And I mean, the conversation that started happening was definitely a binary conversation that you get to sit and listen to. It was really weird, you know, but it was very valuable. Very, very valuable. It was interesting.
I feel like I do that with a couple of friends, but I don't think I've ever done it in a setting like that's been designed for it. Like, you know, I have like the same small circles of friends. Like, sometimes me and you would chat, not on the show, and, you know, just kind of.
Right.
Yeah. So it's that type of thing. We, you know, because we all have problems, right, with different things, you know, with business. Like, with me, it's usually been I've become very focused on the kind of passive income. So it's just creating a system, right, that makes money. And then I miss that interaction with people. Then I start doing client work a lot, too much, and I start missing that passive income thing, right? And then it goes back and forth all the time, right? So it just depends which stage I'm in. Like, it'll be like, which part of my... Like, right now, it's just a lot of client work, and I'm going back into, you know, creating those things. But if I do it too long, I'll be like, shit, I miss, like, you know, being on the front lines again.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like... Like, that's a huge thing with me that just happens constantly.
I can feel it, man. I definitely can vibe on it. And you know what? I've done, I don't know if you know, I did 5 years of conferences, you know? Like running my own. And it's a lot of work and very little reward, you know, and a lot of pressure. And I'm at the point too. It's like, yo, I like running small events. I get so much more out of it. It's very much more intimate. And it doesn't require all the overhead, you know. And that's the same way when you go to a conference.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot of overhead for 2 or 3 days. When you can go to this one thing, spend your money, get there, chill out, relax. You know, every day is not just trying to get a parking space, you know, or a chair in a room. So, you know, there's a lot to be said from the smaller events these days. Have you been to a baby bath corner? Thinking about it.
I'm also thinking, like, I've had so many people just say, Tom, you got to show up to one of these. And I feel like I'm at the point where maybe I will go soon because I'm tired of the big events, right? Like anything smaller is more interesting to me. But I've had people come back saying it was great.
Okay.
Like this year I sponsored one conference just to see how that would go. And it was good. You know, I spoke, I had the speaker's dinner. Like, you know, I had all these things, like, you know, they showed me on stage, like, all, you know, whoop-de-woo. But it seemed like the overhead was quite high, and I got my money back, but it took a lot of work on the back end, too. I had to do client work to get the money back. And I'm like, I mean, I don't know how much I would want to do that.
That's interesting. Right. That's it. I remember when I first started, we first started a business. I got a picture. I'm looking at it. And when we first started our business, I used to make, like, print-on-demand stuff, like tiles, artwork on tiles, and mouse pads and all this stuff, license plates. And we did a show, and we bought a booth, and it was like a wedding show. So I was, doing wedding gifts, and I had to talk to people and had to stay at the booth all day. Dude, it only took one.
So I told him, no booth. I said, no booth, I'm not doing any of that nonsense. But what I did...
Yeah, oh, you'd have hated it.
What I did, and, you know, I'm friends with the conference owner, so he was, you know, having a bit of shits and giggles over this. I created a mouse pad to give out to everyone with my face on it.
Not a mouse pad.
With my face on it.
A mouse pad, seriously?
Yeah, yeah.
And, that's hilarious.
And it was, like, the most talked about thing at the conference, because, one... He's like, who makes a mouse pad?
Uses a mouse pad, right? Yes.
And then people are like, hey, I like mouse pads. But then he's like, and more than that, dude puts his face on it.
Only Tom and Prince. Prince would do that.
Dude, I'm getting pictures and videos to this day of people like showing me, you know, they have a relationship with the mouse pad now. Like they're rubbing their face on my, like their hand on my face on the mouse pad. So many of these things. It's hilarious.
I'm making me some mouse pads. I'm making some mouse pads tomorrow. I still got my heat press. I got my mouse pads and I got my ink. I'm making some mouse pads.
Huh. Yeah, I'm gonna put a picture of the mouse pad under this episode. Just so people can see it, because it was the
hilarious.
Another friend, he had this event after the conference with 30 people just working for a week, and he said, dude, he came in, it was trippy. Everyone had my mouse pad with the face on it right on the table. And he's like, dude, it was tripping me out.
That is too hilarious, bro. I love that. That is very funny.
Yeah.
Dude, I didn't even know people use mouse pads anymore.
Actually, a lot do. Yeah, I was surprised.
I guess they do. I mean, if you got a desk set up, you got to have a mouse. Why have a desk set up and still use a little stupid touchpad?
Yeah, but it was the funniest thing, like just how much attention it got for everyone. That's good. You know, and it's like it was kind of the point, right? Like, let's see how I can get my name out without doing a lot of work, and putting my face on this mouse pad was it. If I just did the mouse pad, I think it would have kind of flew under the radar.
Yeah, but your face on it.
And the event organizer, he's like, I can't believe he put his fucking face on the mouse pad.
That is great, dude. I love it. I can see it. You got to send me one now.
I do have an extra one. Yeah, I do have an extra one.
Uh-huh. You got to send me one now.
Oh, man. But yeah, I'll show you the picture first, though, just so you can enjoy it.
Yes. All right. See? This episode will go down in the annals of history, and I'll have a mouse pad.
With my face
on it. I'll keep that. With your face, I will keep that. I'll keep that. I am sure there will be times where I want to just punch a mouse pad into your face. So, there you go.
All right, let's finish it on that. That's, I think.
All right, there we go, yeah. Always leave it on a high note, bro.
Okay, we are done. Before you go, let me know if you enjoyed this interview. leave a review, subscribe, join the Smart Brand Marketing Facebook page, whatever is easiest. Also, if you need my help marketing your online course, or know that your business could use some SEO, come to smartbrandmarketing.com, check out the case studies, and reach out to me. Once again, smartbrandmarketing.com. Until next time.